And the first speaker we will have today will speak on the association between disability, sleep, and chronic disease conditions. And this is Elizabeth A. Courtney Long. Elizabeth is a health scientist with the Division of Human Development and Disability at the National Center on Birth Defects and Developmental Disabilities at CDC. She has been with the division since 2008, and her primary focus is research on the health status, health-related behaviors, and health disparities among persons with disabilities. Please join me in welcoming Elizabeth Courtney Long to the podium.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm pleased to be here to be able to talk to you about some work we've been doing looking at this association between disability and sleep and chronic conditions. And this is definitely a work in progress, so I'm kind of at the end, hopefully, to spend just a moment talking, letting you know kind of some next steps we're hoping to take with this. First thing, I have no relationships to disclose. And I'd like to acknowledge my collaborator, Alyssa Stevens, who's been very instrumental in kind of some thinking through this work, and kind of figuring out how we're approaching this. So I'm going to start off with just a little bit of background. With sleep, although it can vary, and it's stressed that it's definitely an individual, this is something that's very individual, generally adults in the U.S. are recommended to get about 7 to 8 hours of sleep a day. I've seen, you know, there's other recommendations, 7 to 9. So 7 to 9 hours a day is what's generally recommended. But we know that over a third of U.S. adults actually report getting under 7 hours in a day. We do see that insufficient sleep, which would be about less than 7 hours within a 24-hour period, is less common among those 65 years and older, more common among those, of course, younger. Previous research has shown that insufficient sleep is associated with a number of chronic diseases, including cardiovascular disease, obesity, diabetes, and stroke. And just something that we've noticed as we've started working, doing some of this work, is that we've seen just more of a public health focus on the importance of sleep. A little bit of background on what we know about disability. We know that about 1 in 5 people in the U.S. live with a disability. These are numbers that come from the U.S. Census Bureau. Translates to about 57 million people. The estimate can vary depending on the survey you use, the way disability is operationalized in the survey, but it's about 20%. We know also that adults with a disability experience a number of health disparities. We know they're more likely to be current smokers, physically inactive, be obese. And they also report a higher prevalence of a number of chronic diseases and conditions, including hypertension, diabetes, arthritis, and heart disease compared to adults without a disability. We don't have information on causality, and that's certainly a key. Just to point out, we don't know, you know, is the disability lead to the chronic condition or vice versa, but we do know that there's a higher prevalence among adults with a disability. And in some work are some numbers from the 2010 Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance System. There was a question that asked respondents, how many days in the last 30 did you not get enough rest or sleep? And if we look at the prevalence of people reporting that they didn't get enough rest or sleep in 30 of the last 30 days, we can see that about almost 20% of adults with a disability reported that, relative to about 8.2% of people without a disability. And then if we look at none of the days in the last 30, they had difficulty not getting, or they got enough rest, I guess we could assume they probably got enough rest or sleep within the last 30 days, it's higher among people with disability. So people without a disability reporting better sleep possibly than people without disability or less insufficient sleep. So just to kind of wrap up our background here, we know that adults with disabilities are more likely to report insufficient sleep. We know that insufficient sleep or sleep is associated with a number of chronic diseases, and we know that adults with disabilities are more likely to report a number of chronic conditions. So what we wanted to know is the amount of sleep a moderating factor in the association between disability and certain chronic conditions. Does it change by the level of sleep that you report? So just very briefly, we're looking again at moderating factors. So a moderator is a variable that can really affect the association between two other variables. So it can affect the direction, the strength of that association between the two variables. And the moderator itself can be an independent variable in a regression model, can be independently associated with the dependent variable. And so we investigate this using an interaction term in a logistic regression model, which is what we're doing on the work I'm talking about today. So for our data source, we use the 2009 and 2010 Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance System. And for those of you who may not be familiar with the BRFSS, it's a state-based telephone survey. It's conducted in all 50 states, D.C., and three territories. It gathers self-reported information among adults in the U.S., as I said, on demographic, health risks, and health behaviors, and health status. There's a core set of questions that are asked in every state, and each state is able to choose some optional modules that they'd also like to administer. And in 2009 and 2010, a number of states chose to administer a module on sleep. In 2009, there were 12 states. In 2010, there were 14 states. And there were six of these states that used it in both years: California, Hawaii, Kansas, Maryland, Minnesota, and Nebraska. So we had 20 states in total that used this module among those 2 years. So we aggregated the data for both years, and we adjusted the weights to account for states that may have only asked a portion of their respondents the questions, and for states that may have asked it in two versus one of the years. So we had a little over 150,000 total respondents that participated in this module, so a pretty good sample size. For these 2 years with the BRFSS, disability is defined as a yes response to either of these two questions that I have up here. Are you limited in any way in any activities because of physical, mental, or emotional problems? And do you now have any health problem that requires you to use special equipment such as a cane, a wheelchair, a special bed, or a special telephone? So again, a respondent who answered yes to either of the two questions was considered to have a disability, and a respondent had to answer no to both questions in order for us to consider them not to have a disability. As part of that sleep module that I mentioned, respondents were asked, on average, how many hours of sleep do you get in a 24-hour period? Think about the time you actually spend sleeping or napping, not just the amount of sleep you think you should get. So the answers were provided in hour increments, and what we did was actually tried to break it into a number of different categories. We categorized it into several different categories. We looked at less than or equal to 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and then 10 or greater hours within a 24-hour period. Respondents were also, we defined the chronic conditions by self-report. So respondents were asked if they had ever been told by a doctor or healthcare provider that they ever, and the key is ever, had one of the following conditions: if they had ever had diabetes, stroke, hypertension, high cholesterol. We did define heart disease as somebody who reported that they had either ever had angina, coronary heart disease, or had had a heart attack. And then we determined obesity by calculating BMI using self-reported height and weight. And I will note for our hypertension and high cholesterol variables, we were only limited to the 2009 data, just because that was the only year that it was asked of the 2 years. So briefly, for our methods, we looked at estimated the prevalence of disability overall among our sample of adults, the prevalence of chronic disease and daily average hours of sleep stratified by disability status. We conducted logistic regression to look at the association between disability and the chronic condition, and again, looking at levels of sleep. So I'm presenting this in odds ratios. And then we interacted disability and reported sleep to look at how this may change by level of reported sleep. And due to the complex survey design of the BRFSS, we conducted all our analysis using SAS Callable Sudan. So on to our results. We found that, consistent with numbers we know in the past, that about 1 in 5 adults, 19.9%, reported a disability using our definition. And on the table here, I have the prevalence estimates that we obtained for each of the six of the conditions or chronic diseases stratified by disability status. The middle column is the estimates for disability, and the column on the far right is the estimates for adults without a disability. We can see they're higher, among adults with disability for all six, anywhere from 2 to 3 times higher, for example, for heart disease, diabetes, stroke, and about 1.5 times higher with obesity, high cholesterol, and hypertension. And I've just presented the prevalence or the frequencies of the hours of sleep here on this chart. And what was kind of striking to us and really stood out is really sort of the two extremes. If we look at the less than five hours or less in a 24-hour period or the 10 hours or greater, we can see that the prevalence is higher for adults with a disability, about 8% of adults with disability compared to about 2.5% of adults without a disability report 5 hours or less a night, and about 7% of adults with disability compared to about 3.5 to 4% of adults without a disability report 10 or more hours of sleep a night. Adults without a disability had a higher prevalence of reporting 7 hours of sleep. And weren't as many differences kind of with the other two, no differences really at 9 and not as many with 6 or 8. So I'm going to present the next results kind of in three levels. The first thing I'm going to do is this is an odds ratio looking at the association between disability and each chronic disease or condition. The only thing that we've controlled for here is we've controlled for hours of sleep only. So we can see that in each case, disability is associated statistically significantly with each of the chronic condition, anywhere with the stroke and heart disease being the strongest association, a little bit over an odds ratio of over 5. And obesity and high cholesterol, not as strong of an association, but they still are statistically significant with odds ratios just under 2. The next thing we did was to, again, look at the association between disability and each of the chronic conditions. But what we've added on to here is a number of sociodemographic and behavioral risk factors we looked at and are also just controlled for age, sex, race and ethnicity, household income, marital status. We also controlled for smoking status and current alcohol use. And we can see that, again, the association between disability and each of the chronic conditions remains statistically significant. It's not quite as strong, which is not surprising once we've controlled for a number of these factors. Didn't change really at all for obesity, but did kind of go down a little bit for all of the others to varying degrees. So that leads us to kind of really what we wanted to know or what we were really interested in was how this association between disability and these chronic conditions might differ by amount of sleep. So we've controlled for sleep, but if we look at it by amount of sleep, does it change at all? So I'm going to start with heart disease, and I will apologize. I realize one thing I probably should have done is kind of give you a referent of where the initial odds ratio was for our adjusted model, but I did not do that, so I'll just tell you what it is with each one. So we started off with an odds ratio overall of about 2.77 for disability, and that's disability compared to no disability. And we see some variation by levels of sleep here with heart disease. We see it goes up definitely at the very lowest level of sleep, less than 5 hours, jumps up to about 3.5. And then just some variation among the other levels, drops down, the association gets not quite as strong around 9 hours of sleep, goes down to just under 2. from diabetes, we started out at 2.09 for an odds ratio. We don't see quite as much variation here. We see it goes up a little bit at the very low levels of sleep, goes up to about 2.4, but we don't see a whole lot of change really at the other levels. So this one stayed fairly consistent. For obesity, we started out at about 1.94, and we see, especially with the four lower categories of sleep, the less than or equal to 5 up to 8, it hovered around 2, a little bit less, a little bit more, but stayed around 2. For the two higher levels amounts of sleep or higher categories of sleep, 9 and 10 hours or greater, dropped down to just over 1.5, but not as much variation here. For stroke, we started off with our initial odds ratio with the adjusted model at 3.09 for an odds ratio for disability. And we see some variation here, particularly at 6 hours of sleep, jumped up to about four, a little over four for an odds ratio for disability. Strengthened a little bit at 5 hours or less. And then for the other four for the other four categories of sleep, stayed just under three, and not a whole lot of variation there. For high cholesterol, we started out at 1.43. We didn't see too much variation, some variation, but especially in the four lower categories, stayed pretty steady here. And finally, for hypertension, we started off initially in our fully adjusted model or controlled model at 1.95 for an odds ratio for disability. And what we see here is that in our less than or equal to 5 hours, jumped up an odds ratio to about 2.5. Everything else kind of hovered there between 1.5 or a little over 1.5 and 2. So less variation beyond just the lowest level of sleep, but we definitely see a strengthening of the relationship here. And I will note that even though, you know, I presented the bars with the confidence intervals for each of the odds ratios, just purely looking at overlapping confidence intervals, we may not see, you know, how different these are statistically, but, you know, we do see some change just looking at the graph, some variation. So just to summarize our findings, we found that adults with disabilities had a higher prevalence of those extreme ends are very low and the higher levels of sleep, so the less than or equal to 5 or the 10 or greater. We found that adults with disabilities had a higher prevalence and odds of all the chronic conditions that we looked at compared with adults without disabilities. And when looking at how the association between disability and chronic disease may change by levels of sleep, we found that there were stayed a little more consistent with diabetes, obesity, and high cholesterol. With heart disease, we did see a bit more variation and some stronger associations at the lower levels of sleep. We also found some stronger associations at the lower levels of sleep for stroke and hypertension. Of course, we do have limitations with our data. It's all self-reported data. We don't have any information on duration, cause, severity, or permanence of disability, so that is a limitation. And just key that I do want to you know emphasize, because this is cross-sectional data, we can't determine the directionality of disability or chronic disease. So we don't know if the chronic condition could be a secondary condition due to the disability or could have resulted in the disability. So that's just a limitation of the data. But again, we do know that there is still an association between the two. The data was limited to the 20 states that chose to administer this module in those 2 years, so it's not a nationally representative sample. And we didn't have information on other variables that we thought probably could affect sleep, such as pain, and I think something like that would also be relevant to be able to include when looking at this. So just briefly, in conclusion, again, as I stated, this is a work in progress, and but we do think that it's beneficial for, you know, programs who may be focusing on health promotion with adults with disabilities, just to be aware of how the importance of sleep and how sleep may be reported sleep may be different for people with disabilities compared to those without. And for next steps, I just wanted to mention kind of what we'd like to do is that in the 2013 BRFSS, the question on hours of sleep was asked as part of the core survey. So it was asked of all respondents. So we would have probably three times as many respondents. We'd have more of a nationally representative sample. And in addition, in 2013, we have a few more specific questions on disability so we can get at a little more specific information. We can get at those who may have a disability due to a vision difficulty, cognitive or mobility limitations. So we have some additional information that we could look at. And we saw a little bit of a pattern. We saw changes by sleep, possibly in hypertension, stroke, and heart disease. So, we may want to look at sort of these cardiovascular conditions a little bit closer and see, if sleep is a moderator, if we can look at even a larger sample. And that's all I have. Thank you so much.
We have a few minutes. If we have one or two questions, you will ask to Elizabeth.
Me too.
I had a question about your categorizing of the hours. Mm-hmm. Is there a reason why you didn't choose to do a dichotomy, dichotomous variable, or since you had kind of the data and the tail end?
Right. We had thought about that, and we had initially wanted to look at it by dichotomizing it, and that's how I think back when we first started it, we had done that. But we wanted to really look at it. Does it change by levels? Is there a little more specificity if we look at different levels? So we decided to categorize it this way. I think, which I failed to mention, one thing that I'd like to do is possibly even just look at it again, but really it's just a continuous variable, so just all levels. I mean, I don't think, because those reporting 5 or less or 10 or more, there's so few, I think once we get into the really, low numbers, we're not going to see a lot. But we did that just to hope we could see kind of more specificity among the levels of sleep. That's a good question. And I think that's one thing that we've I want to go back to the introduction that we definitely have known. This is just sort of anecdotal from our observation, is that we've definitely noticed in sort of a little more of a public health focus on sleep in the past few years, just other, papers coming out in public health, specific journals, and just a little bit more of a focus. So, I agree. It's definitely something that even goes beyond just, the work that I'm talking about here is just really looking at adults with a disability compared to those without, but I agree it's definitely important in a broader sense, definitely.
And what if you find, suppose in one of your studies you find that these medical residents have more sleep deprivation than the chronic disease victims?
Oh, they do?
You might find this.
Oh.
And I'm worried about that.
But you won't.
They don't have that data. We don't have that data, but
I know,
that's,
I
yeah.
I'm saying that.
Oh, it's a suggestion, yeah.